In Ezra chapter 7 and in verse 10, we find where a statement is made regarding work that was done by the Jews in the project of rebuilding the temple. The temple that Solomon had built had been constructed about 900 years before the time of Christ. But then a little less than 600 years before Christ's birth, that temple was destroyed. Destroyed by Babylonian conquerors. The people of Israel were taken into captivity for 70 years. Then they, according to God's own plan, were released from that captivity. And they returned to their homeland. And in that return, they began to reconstruct a temple. In Ezra chapter 7, we read about the work, or rather in the book of Ezra, we read about that work as it was discharged, as the people rebuilt what is often referred to as the second temple. That's the temple that stood for 500 more years when Jesus came into this world. But it was a temple that underwent some significant remodeling, some rebuilding during the days of Herod the Great, who extensively remodeled and improved the temple so that it is said by some to have challenged Solomon's first temple, that which Herod had finished working on. But that remodeling and rebuilding of the second temple went on for some 40 years, more than 40 years, that remodeling project went on. That temple stood for a little more than 500 years. That which was built in the days of Ezra and then remodeled in the days of Herod stood until 70 AD, and at that time it was destroyed by the Romans. But it was a great task, that which was set about to accomplish, as Ezra records, in building this great structure once again. And in Ezra chapter 7 and in verse 10, we have a wonderful statement made about Ezra's part in that great rebuilding project. The text says simply that Ezra set his heart to study the law of the Lord, to practice it, and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. The Old Testament, we're told, God had a temple for his people. And even when that temple was destroyed, God again had that temple built so that he would have a temple for his people. And in order to accomplish that task, this man, Ezra, first set his heart to study the law of the Lord. Some texts say that he set his mind. You know, a lot of times we talk about our mindset. What is your mindset? That is, what are you devoted to? What are you seeking to accomplish? Here we have reference to a mindset characterized as being that which is to study God's Word, to study the law of the Lord. I loved a statement contained in the book of Daniel that I'm sure many of you are familiar with in the first chapter of the book of Daniel. The text there speaks about how Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. He was a man who was, as a very young man, was taken into that Babylonian captivity I spoke of a moment ago. But in that foreign land, in those difficult circumstances, Daniel was a young man who had a purpose in his heart. He purposed not to defile himself before God. Ezra is another example of someone who has a purpose of heart, a purpose in mind, one who has set his heart to study the law of the Lord. But for Ezra to have succeeded in the work that he undertook in assisting in the rebuilding of this temple and the restoring of the law of the Lord as it was honored in that rebuilt the temple. The second thing that was necessary for Ezra to do was not only to set his mind to study the law of the Lord, but to practice it. You know, we don't do a thing. We don't accomplish one thing if we don't have it as our purpose, as our mindset, to practice what we learn in the Scriptures. What does God's law say? Well, if I'm not willing to take it and put it into practice, I accomplish nothing. Did anyone say it better than Jesus when he asked people, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do the things that I say? Why don't you practice what I say?" Well, that's precisely what God wants his people to do, is to take his law, to study it, to have that mindset, but a mindset that also includes the practical application of God's word. Put it into practice. The third thing that Ezra did in order to be the success that he was in the effort that he put forth was he not only studied the law of the Lord with the intent of practicing it, but he also determined to teach it. He also determined to share with those about him what he gleaned from his study of God's Word. See, Ezra was a priest. And as a priest, he had that obligation, living among God's people in God's land. Now that they've returned there, they've rebuilt the temple. They are restoring the observance of the law of God in the land among the Jews who have come to re-inhabit the land. It required God's Word, the study of God's Word, and the teaching of God's Word. God, in the Old Testament, had a temple for His people. In the New Testament, God has a people for His temple. If you look in 1 Peter chapter 1, we find as the Apostle Peter writes to his brethren, he says, describing their, 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, in describing their spiritual condition before God as a saved people, as a people who comprise the Lord's church, he says in verse 4 that coming to Him, that is coming to the Lord, coming to Him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Here the Apostle Peter uses the image of a temple once again. But this is not a temple for God's people, but rather he is describing God's people who are His temple. He says, you have been brought together, you have been assembled, you have been put together as living stones. I think I've told you here once before about the man who was filling out an application, and one of the questions was church preference, and he wrote red brick. Now, Peter does not speak about the church as a building. Rather, he speaks of it as a spiritual house constructed not out of red brick or mortar, but out of people, out of those who are living stones. You've been brought together. You've been put together. You have been built upon Jesus, who is Himself a living stone. But you have been built upon Him, a spiritual house, to be what? To be a holy priesthood. In the Old Testament, God had a temple for His people, and His priest served in that temple. In the New Testament, God has a people for His temple, and His people who are His temple are also the priest. You're the living stones that form the spiritual house that is the temple. You are the priest who serve within that temple, who offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful building, a living building. You know how it's constructed? It's constructed when people set their mind to learn the law of the Lord, to practice it, and to teach it. You want to be a part of that living building? Do you want to be one of those living stones that God takes and fits right into the right place? Then set your mind to know the law of the Lord. Will you open up God's Word? Let Him tell you how to be a part of that temple. Will you practice what you learn there? And then will you take it and teach others? God today has a people for His temple, and you can be in it. If you're not a child of God today, you can become one. You can become one of those living stones. Turn away from your sins, from a life of sin. With faith in Jesus Christ, confess that He is the Son of God. Be baptized, washing the guilt of your sins away. You'll be saved. Not because David said it, because the law of the Lord says it. And being saved, you'll be added then to His people, a part of His temple. You'll become a priest of His, serving, offering up spiritual sacrifices. You'll have the promise of a home in heaven for eternity. Would you come and be part of His temple? We pray you will while we stand and sing.